Amen. God bless you. John chapter 8 this morning. John chapter number 8. I'm giving you a message this morning that I've given before. But as we were thinking about this service and what the Lord was laying on our heart to do, He drew my attention to this message again. And I want to give what He gives me. And this is no doubt the message for this hour that the Lord desires for me to give. John chapter 8 and verse number 36. John chapter 8 and verse number 36. The Bible says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." I am preaching today on the subject of the same thing that the choir sung about. I'm preaching on freedom is not free. Freedom is not free. Let's pray together. We share this thought. Father, we love you this day and thank you for your goodness to us. I pray that you'll calm my heart. I pray that you forgive anything in my life that's hindering you. Lord, you're a good God. We give you praise today. And I pray that as I preach, that it's not me that preaches, but that the Holy Spirit of God will take my words, and may they truly be your words. Lord, may you preach through me today. I want to be completely surrendered to you. Use me in the midst of these precious people. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let me say loud and clear that I am glad to be an American. This is a great country the Lord has truly blessed in a wonderful, wonderful way. This is a land where one word rings, and that word is freedom. We in America have freedoms that other parts of the world do not have. One of these great freedoms we're exercising right now, the freedom to gather in this place to worship the Lord without threat of being ambushed and thrown into jail. By the way, there are Christians around the world who are being ambushed and thrown into jail, and many of them are even being martyred for the glory of Almighty God. We don't need to take for granted the blessings that God has given to us here in the land of the United States of America. Thank God for the freedom that we have. However, it's important for us to remember that this freedom that we're enjoying did not come free. As a matter of fact, freedom is not free. There are several people the Lord has used down through the years. Some are even in this room as I speak. To help make America free. Among these people would be the American soldier, no doubt about it. God has used the soldier to help us have the freedoms that we have today. Some have even given their lives to help keep America free. As a matter of fact, there have been several wars in which our citizens, young and old, men and women, have participated in to help keep America free. Among these wars, and I'm sure it's not all of them, but just among them, and you have to be careful starting to name things, but World War I and II, the Korean War, Vietnam, the Persian Gulf, the Iraqi wars, I mean, on and on you can go. In these wars, the Lord has used the soldier to help keep America free. Thank God for the soldiers. Thank God for the veterans, those currently serving and those who have already departed and no longer serving or they're with the Lord, whatever the case may be. We can ask these dear men and women who have gone overseas, we can ask them, is our freedom free? And no doubt they know firsthand that our freedom is not free. What I want to do today is I want to take an American soldier and I want to put him on display for all of us to see and show how through the American soldier the freedom that we enjoy is not free. And it's amazing to walk through this simple display to see what summarizes an American soldier and how he or she is willing to pay the ultimate price to keep freedom ringing in America. As we look at the American soldier and just bring out some things that summarize the soldier, we're going to be making a spiritual comparison between the American soldier fighting for the freedom of America and the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and did what he did to fight for the freedom of our souls. May I tell you that with the utmost respect, and I mean it, the utmost respect, that more important than the freedom of America is the freedom of our soul. Just like the freedom of America takes the sacrifice of others, the freedom of our soul took the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. So today I want to look at the American soldier and make a comparison about what the American soldier has done for the freedom of America is exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ has done to free our soul from the lake of fire. Let me give you these things and then we'll apply it at the end. First of all, he leaves his country and his home. You know, the soldier leaves his country and leaves his home and all the comforts of it. I remember speaking to one of our veterans. This has been several years ago now. But I remember speaking to him and him saying this. He said, "You can't imagine stepping off the plane knowing your feet are on American soil." He said, "You can't imagine when you're gone for that long, to step off the plane and realize you are now standing in America." May I say to you that the soldier has let go of some of his freedom so you and I can enjoy the freedoms that we have. And one thing he does is he leaves his country and he leaves his home. In the same way, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, left his country, the country of heaven, to be born in a humble cattle stable some 2,000 years ago. This is brought out in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. And in John chapter 6, verse number 32, here's what it says. Listen to this. It says in John chapter 6, verse 32, "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Notice verse 38. "For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." See, the Lord knew that he had to leave the portals of glory to be able to set free our eternal soul. So first of all, we see the soldier leaves his home and leaves his country and the comforts of it. Secondly, we see he leaves his family to go across the seas. There is no doubt that one of the hardest things on a soldier is when he or she leaves their family behind. What a heart-wrenching feeling this truly must be. I have not experienced it like a soldier has. I've experienced it just on a much smaller scale. I know personally when I'm taken away from my family for a mission trip, whatever the case may be, even for a relatively small amount of time, it breaks my heart, friends. I mean, I can't hardly take it. I'll just be honest with you. I mean, I go because the Lord wants me to go, and I'm going to try to see people saved and bring glory to God. He gives me peace to go. But friends, it's one of the hardest things I ever have to do is get on a plane and leave my family behind, even if it's 2 weeks, a week, 10 days, or even overnight. By the way, I'm glad it bothers me to leave my family. I'm glad my heart breaks when I leave my family. I'm glad I love my family. My family loves me like that. I'm not glad I go through that, but I'm glad I have a family that I don't want to leave behind. But you know, I can't even imagine what a soldier boarding a plane, realizing it'll be weeks, months, and maybe even longer before they'll be back to see their family, the good Lord willing. You know, in the same way, the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, leaving His Father's side. Even though we know the Father and Son are one, the Lord Jesus temporarily left His Father's side to be born of a virgin and die for our sins. Thirdly, they not only leave country and home and leave family, but thirdly, the American soldier, he suffers hardship. You know, when a soldier leaves home and family to participate in a war overseas, there's no telling what type of hardship he or she faces. I know many of them come home and they don't even want to think about it. They don't even want to talk about it. And I'm not trying to dig up anything that maybe a veteran is trying to leave behind. Please, I hope you know my heart by that. I'm talking about by now at least. I cannot say that I know what they've experienced because I've never been there. I'm not an American soldier. I'm a soldier of the cross, but I'm not an American soldier. I've never experienced a foreign war. But we know that fighting a war is not a bed of roses. They don't go on vacation. We know when they go that many times these soldiers go through some difficult times during their time on the field. Some go without the luxuries of life, such as maybe even running water is not even available, or there's not a soft bed or a roof over their head. I'm sure some suffer from disease and potential malnutrition. The bottom line is the soldier's not involved in a cakewalk. He's involved in a war, and he's involved in hardship. He's not going so life will be easy on him. He knows when he goes that there's hardship ahead of him. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ knew before he ever came to earth, he knew the hardships that he would go through. Matthew 8:20 says, "And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Can I paraphrase? He's homeless. He doesn't have a place to put his head at night. He says, listen, the foxes have holes. The birds of the air have nests. I don't have a hole. I don't have a nest. I'm just wandering around without a home. Who is he? The King of Glory. That's who he is. Who is he? The one who created it all and spoke it all into existence. There came a time in the Lord Jesus' life that he was betrayed by Judas, arrested under false accusation, Luke chapter 22. He was denied by one of his disciples in Luke chapter 22. He was beaten in his holy face. All this is in Luke chapter 22. He was spoken to in a blasphemous way. They scourged him with the cat of nine tails in Mark chapter 15. They cleared their throat and spit into his face in Matthew chapter 26. They pulled the hair from his beard in Isaiah chapter 50. They crowned him with thorns in Mark chapter 15. They mocked him in Mark chapter 15. What hardship the Lord Jesus Christ suffered when he came to this earth to bleed and die for the sin of the world. The American soldier leaves his home, leaves his country, and goes to a foreign land. That's what Jesus did. He left heaven and came to this earth. The American soldier leaves his family, and no doubt it rips his heart out of his chest. And the Lord left his Father to come down to this earth for you and me. The American soldier suffers hardship. He realizes he's going to be without the comforts that he's so used to, and he's willing to go through all of these things. And the Lord came not to go through life just being treated as a king. He knew that he would be treated as a blasphemer. He knew that he would be treated with tremendous hardship. Finally, and then we're going to give you the main thought, okay? Finally, the American soldier is willing to die. You know, the soldier who leaves country, The soldier who leaves family and suffers hardship also knows in the bottom of their heart that he or she may not be coming back home. They are willing to lay their life down for the cause that they are fighting for. As a matter of fact, there are many soldiers who did pay the ultimate sacrifice. They gave their own life in a war to help keep America free. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ not only underwent those horrific hardships, but he willingly laid down his life on the cross of Calvary. He stretched out his hands and willingly had spikes driven through his hands and through his feet, because this is why he came. John chapter 10 verses 15 to 18 says, "And the Father knoweth me," this is what Jesus said, "as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I laid down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." The Lord Jesus Christ willingly went to the cross of Calvary. He willingly stretched out his arms and had spikes driven through his hands and through his feet. And he willingly died for the sins of the world. See, Jesus came to die. Now, let me paraphrase this, and I'm going to give you what I've got in my notes. Main thought. We're getting ready to get to it. Here we go. We're applying the American soldier to the ultimate soldier, the Lord Jesus Christ. And just as the American soldier, to help keep America free, leaves his home, leaves his country, leaves his family, willing to suffer hardship and even ultimately willing to die, the Lord Jesus Christ, to set our soul free from an eternal lake of fire and bondage to sin, he left his country, he left his family, he suffered hardship, and he willingly died on the cross of Calvary. Now, that's really all introduction. Now let me give you the main thought. When we consider these major things that I've summarized with an American soldier and applied it to the Lord Jesus Christ, there's several questions that come to your mind. These questions are this: why is he willing to go through all of that? Why is he willing to leave his country and his family? Why is he willing to leave the comforts of home and suffer hardship? Why is he willing to die in that battle that he's going to be a part of? Why is he willing to do all of that? And as we think about these questions, the answer that comes to my mind is he's willing to do all of that for the freedom of those that he loves. Friends, the American soldier is willing to go through all of it, even death, because he wants those he loves back home to be free. He does not want them to live a life where a dictator places them in bondage. So he's willing to pay the price to keep his wife, his children, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, his great-great-grandchildren, his great-great-great-grandchildren. He's willing to go across seas and leave those he loves behind to set those he loves free back home. May I say this to you? The reason the Lord Jesus Christ left heaven and the reason he suffered the hardship and died was to set those he loves free. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Let me say with love in my heart again that more important than freedom in America, brought about by the sacrifices of the soldier, more important than that is the freedom of your soul from sin, brought about by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say this to you. I'm almost done. Now, you realize that that's a preacher lying to you and he tells you that, but he's trying to make you feel good about it anyway, okay? Would you consider these thoughts today? Because I don't know your heart. I don't know your heart. And you need to understand some things. I said this in Sunday school today, and I said this in a funeral on Friday night, Brother Bernard's funeral, and I'm going to say it again here. The fact of the matter is there are many around the world, there are many, many around the world who never trust Christ because they don't understand the eternal danger that they're literally in. We were visiting this week and we knocked on the door of a lady and she told us she doesn't believe in heaven and doesn't believe in hell. She was nice. We enjoyed visiting with her and we're praying for her. And we was talking to her about the gospel, about the Lord. And here's what she said. I'm paraphrasing. She said, you know, ever since I've turned my back on God, life's been pretty good to me. Things are going pretty smooth for me. Can I paraphrase? I'm enjoying my life. I don't want God. The problem with that is she really doesn't understand the danger she's in. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? For instance, if you're 6 feet tall and you're standing in 2 feet of water and we throw you a life preserver, you're not going to pay any attention to it. You don't need it. All you got to do is stand up. Unless you're my height, I know what you're thinking, right? But if you cannot swim, you can't swim and you know it, and we throw you into 12 feet of water and we throw you that same life preserver, you're going to try to get to it as quickly as you possibly can. You know what makes the difference? The danger you're in. May I say something to you this morning? Everybody sinned. There's not one person listening to me today who's just like God. Not one. Not one. The Bible says for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3 verse 23. You know what that means? That means nobody is just like God. Nobody. See, heaven's a perfect place. Read it for yourself. God's immediate presence dwells there. That's where He lives. He is completely, totally holy. He said, I am separate from sin. I will not allow one thing into heaven to defile my heaven. Not one thing. Question, would one sin defile heaven? Yes or no? Absolutely. Because heaven's a perfect place. God lives there. And if you ever get to go be with God, you must be as good as God. Are you listening to me? You're not. Neither am I. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And because of that, number two, sin must be paid for. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. That means the payment of sin is death. You know what that word death there means? Yes, it is talking of physical death, but it's also talking of the spiritual death. Because I remind you that death is simply a separation. That's all it is. Physical death is when the spirit and soul inside of you separates from the body. Your body's left behind and goes into the grave, but your spirit and soul go out into eternity. They've been separated. That's physical death. Spiritual death is when somebody dies without Christ and they go to the lake of fire. They go to hell that'll ultimately be cast into the lake of fire. God, get this, the all-present God, the God who's everywhere, has separated himself from hell. He is not there. He is not in hell. It is a God-forsaken
place. And if you die without Christ, your sin deserves death. That means if you get what you deserve and if I get what I deserve, even if it's one sin, we will not go to everlasting life where God is. That's a perfect place. But we will be separated from God forever in the place called hell. That's why your good works will not cut it. Because the wages of sin is not the best you can. The wages of sin is not being dunked in a baptistry. The wages of sin is not turning over a new leaf. The wages of sin is death. And it has to be paid. Somebody has to die. Somebody has to be separated from God. And that's why, number three, Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, because He died for us, Romans 5 verse 8. You've heard the story how Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. You heard the story that He walked a sinless life. He even said, "Who convinceth me of sin?" Can I paraphrase that? Who can tell me that I've ever sinned? He's saying, I'm not a sinner. He was God. Remember John chapter 1, we're studying through this book. God was manifest in the flesh. God stepped on stage. Remember, we've already preached on that. God came in human flesh. That's Jesus Christ. And He walked a sinless, perfect life. It was God dwelling among sinful man. He never sinned. He never did anything wrong. He completely fulfilled the law, and He went to the cross of Calvary, and He said before He ever went, "No man takes my life from me, but I am going willingly." They couldn't kill God. Come on, friends. But He said, "That's why I came. I came to willingly stretch out my arms and die." And remember when Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the only begotten Son of God, God in flesh, was hanging on the cross at high noon, at 12 o'clock, God turned off the lights. Remember, the sun would not shine, and it was completely dark for 3 hours when Jesus was hanging on the cross. And it was through that darkness that they heard the Lamb of God say, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" At that moment, in that darkness, the weight of your sin and the weight of my sin was placed on the Lamb of God, God in human flesh. He was suffering for my sin, dying for my sin. And at that moment, God the Father turned His back on God the Son, and spiritual death took place. He was separated from His daddy for that moment, and He died, and He was buried, and He rose again, and He did all of that. He suffered our death so we can have eternal life. This is the gospel. This is Jesus Christ coming to do what I could never do for myself. Hey, if I'm going to try to get to heaven by my good works, only one sin keeps me out. You know what that tells me? I'm in major trouble. I can never make it to heaven on my own. There's no possible way. And if I go into eternity based on what I'm doing, trusting that I've been good enough, come on, friends, that's blasphemous. That is blasphemy. God says, "It took the death of my own Son to pay the price for your sin." And if you trust Christ as your Savior, He'll take you to heaven when you die. But if you reject Christ as your Savior, the fact still remains, the payment of sin is death. That's why Jesus said, "I am the only way." He said this, "I'm the only way to heaven. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life.
No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Am I speaking to somebody this morning that right now in your heart you do not know for sure you're going to heaven? Right now in your heart you've been trusting your good works. You've been trusting that just someday God's going to put your good works on this side, your bad works on this side, and you're just going to roll the dice. Hopefully that your good works outweigh your bad works. You don't understand the gospel, friends. If you're going out into eternity that way, your eternal home is hell. Because there's nobody just like God. Nobody. That's why it took God to come down to us so we can go up to Him. Jesus Christ was separated from God the Father so you and I never have to be. Amen. Now you say, Jody, what's the point? The point is this. Do you understand the danger you're in? Now, I realize preaching through books, it's not all the time salvation on Sunday morning, but it is today. It is today. I'm telling you this morning that there is a real heaven. There is a real hell. God loves you so much that He came to this earth for you. He died on the cross of Calvary for you in His flesh. He died to pay for your sin. And if you trust Him, He'll let you come to live with Him for all eternity. You reject Him, and your sin is open to Him. It's just like this coat right here, friends. Let's say that I had a spot right here. And if I try to approach God with this, there's no way. There's a spot there. I cannot remove it. I can't change it. You say, well, it's just one spot. Doesn't matter. He demands absolute perfection, absolute holiness. There can't be one blemish. Not one. You have to be as good as He is. So what did He do? He came. And because of His death, His burial, His resurrection, now He says you can be clothed in the robe of righteousness. You know what that means? That means if you put on who He is, He doesn't see that spot anymore. He sees this. And only if you are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, that's the only way you are getting to heaven. Amen. Have you trusted Christ? Away with the games. Be done with the foolishness. Be done with the profession of faith. Have you completely trusted Christ? Are you born again? Are you going to heaven? Are you robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ? Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. John 8:36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Those who are bound in sin, the Lord Jesus Christ has left heaven and He suffered awful hardship. He died and rose again to set you free. You reject Him, it's the lake of fire. Revelation 20, verse 15. But if you repent of your sin and receive Him as your Savior, He'll set you free. Romans 10:9-13. Here we go now. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you allow the Lord to set you free today? If you've never trusted Christ, you're in bondage to your sin, even if it's just one. And you're in bondage to its death, to its debt, which is death and separation from God. But Jesus has come to set you free. Will you trust Him? Will you trust Him? I say this and I'm closing, at least going into the invitation. There may be one here who has served to help free others. I'm talking to a veteran. There may be somebody listening to me right now that you have served to help keep us free. But you
also need to be set free. Not in a country, but for eternity. Will you trust Christ today? Freedom is not free. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you. Help us, I pray. Take these thoughts and use them. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I want to ask you to, unless absolutely necessary, that you just kind of just remain seated. Ask the Lord to speak to your heart. There are two types of people listening to me today, those who've been set free from sin and those who have not. If you today know from your heart that you are a born-again child of God, now listen, friends, this has nothing to do with this church. We're not trying to get you to join this church. We're not trying to get you to live a better life. No, what we're concerned about today is you knowing 100% that you're going to heaven. If you never even come back to this church again, we hope you do, but if you never step foot back in this church again, we want you to know without a doubt that heaven's your home. Have you say, Jody, I know I'm saved. I know I'm born again. I don't think so. I don't hope so. I know so. I have trusted Christ and Christ alone. I am going to heaven because of Jesus Christ, not me, not my works, not my baptism, not anything about me, but Him and Him alone. I've trusted Christ and what He's done for me. I am born again. If you know that without a doubt, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? God bless you. Thank you. Isn't it good to be able to raise your hand to that? Amen. You can put your hands down, but isn't it good to be able to raise your hand to that? Praise the Lord. Now, if you could not raise your hand to that, thank you for being honest. And may I say to you that Bible salvation begins with honesty. You never will be saved until you get honest with God. Is there one here today say, Jody, would you pray for me? I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out. I wouldn't embarrass you for anything in the world. I would not do that. But you say, Jody, I'm concerned about my soul. And I realize that without Jesus, there's no hope. Would you pray for me that I will make the right decision? I do not know Jesus as my Savior, or you're doubting your salvation, but you say, Jody, pray for me, please. Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Anybody at all? God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Somebody else, you say, pray for me. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Anybody along with these two, just put your hand up, put it right back down. Put it up, put it right back down. God bless you. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Somebody else. I'm giving the Holy Spirit time here to work a little bit. Now, if you raise your hand to that question, I want you to listen very closely to me. In just a moment, we're going to have what we call an invitation. It's exactly what it sounds like. We're inviting you to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have ladies prepared to deal with ladies. We have men prepared to deal with men. And let me encourage you with this. Don't be foolish and leave this service without making sure that your soul is ready for eternity. I'm pleading with you. I'm begging you. If I could force you to do this, I would. But God's made it where no man can force you to do this. This is between you and Him. So when Brother Gary begins to sing, I want to invite you to come to this altar. I'll come down and we'll meet you. May I encourage you with something? The hardest step you'll take is the first one. And if you move this direction, the Lord's going to help you. He loves you. He died for you. He wants to help you with this. You come. Please. Please. If you're a Christian here and you say, Jody, I agree, I want them to come. I want them to come just so they know that they're among friends today. Would you say an amen, please? Say amen, please. Amen. Please come. Please come. Please. I'm going to ask Brother Gary just to begin to sing. They can begin to play. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing.
And I want to invite you who have, who raised your hand saying, I'm not sure. I want you, as soon as he begins to sing, I'm going to come down front. God is speaking to you. I want you to come. Let's all stand together, please. You come as Brother Gary sings. Brother Gary, just begin to sing. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If God is speaking to you, would you come now? Please, would you do this?
Come every soul by sin oppressed.
May the Lord help you to do this.
With the Lord.
May the Lord help you to do this.
Surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you. He will save you now. For Jesus shed his precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow.
There's still time for you. Come on.
Only trust
still time
him.
For you. Come now.
Only trust him now.
Come now.
He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now.
They're playing through softly. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. Have you all know somebody that's in danger of eternal destruction? They're in danger of hell. Whether they be relying on themselves, relying on some other way, or whether they just don't even believe it. Have you know somebody like that? Would you raise your hand? Be honest about it. Yes. If you raise your hand, I want you to lower it. I want you to look at me just a moment. Would you do that? That's an overwhelming majority of you. I want you to know that I preach my heart today. You know, if a person goes through all of life, they miss heaven. How terrible would that be? You say, Jody, I'm scared to death. There's a reason you're scared to death to talk to him. The devil fights it. Oh, you don't understand that. I've tried this before. They don't want anything to do with it. Then try it again. Hey, there's a burning hell in their future. You know what that means? As long as there's life, there's hope. You don't know when God's going to close the door. That's in God's hands. So if they're still living and breathing, why don't you just say, God, I believe that the door's still open for them. Give them the gospel. Say, well, they may get upset with me. Let them get upset. Won't you beg God before you ever go, whether you go in person or send a letter or something, won't you beg God to break your heart? Let me tell you one thing people can't argue with, tears. Won't you beg God to give you tears? God, give me tears for them. Break my heart. May the Lord help you. Hey, we had one respond, he's trusting Christ today. Amen. There's others here. You know you need to come. We're not going to belabor this because the Holy Spirit's doing his work. We trust him. But I'm going to ask Brother Gary to sing one more verse. You might feel led to come and pray for that person that you raised your hand about. Hey, when's the last time you really begged God to save them? When's the last time you really got a hold of God to save their soul? You say, man, I'm burdened. I feel awful good. Good. Now go do something about it. Amen, friends. Maybe you want to come and pray. It might help others to come. If you're lost, you come. One more verse. If nobody else comes, this will be it. Brother Gary, if you'll sing.
Come on now. Come then and join this holy band.
Still time for you. Come on. Still time for you. Come on. Come talk to the Lord.
celestial land, where joys immortal flow.
If you know it, sing it.
Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now.
They're playing through. We're getting ready to pray here. Tonight, the good Lord willing, we're going back to the book of Exodus, preaching through the book. And we're preaching on the Ark of the Tabernacle. Looking forward to it. What a picture of Christ. Hope you'll be here. What we're going to do, we're going to pray together. We are dealing with one here about eternal things. So we're going to ask that when we say amen, that you quietly, if you don't mind, to kind of move that direction before you start fellowshipping. And then fellowship with people before you leave, okay? But try not to hang around up here in front. Let's move towards the back at least. Give some respect here, okay? Thank you for being here. Brother Jamie Pendleton, sir, if you'll dismiss us in prayer, please.